Maine has lost more than 2,400 papermaking jobs over the last 6 years. But analysts say the state is making some strides in manufacturing that are infusing segments of the wood products industry with new hope and vitality. As A.J. Higgins reports, the goal is to find new products that require more skill to make.
If you've ever bought cigars with wooden tips, they may have come from Pride Manufacturing in Burnham, Maine. Pride, which employs 145 people, has been a world leader in cigar tips for more than 60 years and also cranks out millions of golf tees from white and yellow birch. A couple of years ago, Pride landed a contract with Kanex, the Pennsylvania-based company that sells Lincoln Logs. The toy was invented more than 100 years ago by John Lloyd Wright, second son of the architect Frank Lloyd Wright. But Randy Dicker, senior manager of manufacturing at Pride, says it's becoming a big part of the Burnham plant's future. As the pieces of maple are spit out from molding machines in varying lengths, Dicker inspects them for a uniform light maple color while also ensuring that the protective coatings are applied evenly across each surface.
You know, when we worked on that color, because it had to meet Connex's needs and meet their lab, plus it went to a third-party lab to make sure that the coatings were toy standard and all that. So it took us a while to get there, but we got there, and that's the accepted color.
Pride Manufacturing is trying to answer a question that Patrick Strouk of the Maine Forest Products Council says is front and center for the industry.
How do we take a piece of lumber or a pound of pulp and add more value to it?
While primary wood products such as pulp and paper, boards and framing lumber, wood pellets and chips have declined over the last 15 years, secondary wood products such as shingles and Lincoln logs have rebounded, generating an economic impact estimated at nearly $2 billion.
The age of having, toothpick mills and wood turning mills in every town is gone, but we're seeing innovation and families in manufacturing bring some of those businesses back.
And that trend is being aided by changes in the Chinese economy, says Dr. Mindy Crandall, the assistant professor at the University of Maine who has studied the resurgence of Maine's secondary wood products industry.
As China progresses and has higher incomes, their labor costs are also rising. So when we can compete on things like quality, that's where we can start having some of that manufacturing moving back over to the U.S.
Crandall says Maine can compete globally by focusing on products that require a higher level of skill and higher quality of wood. Enter Lincoln logs, baseball bats, kitchen utensils, and playsets, which Crandall says are driving the secondary manufacturing market in Maine.
We tend to forget about secondary wood products manufacturing and its role in the state, but there are an amazing amount of these small companies that are adding a lot of value to a primary product.
And even some very small Maine companies are in the game. At Longfellow Cedar Shingles in Windsor, Jim Longfellow oversees the family operation, which relies on a diesel generator to run a shingle saw. Longfellow makes arrangements for the delivery of cedar stock and runs the manufacturing process that produces a siding prized by homeowners across the country. But given the daily demands of the business, Longfellow says it's hard to say how much wood he actually goes through.
I really don't know. I don't keep track. We buy it by ton. And so I don't even know how many tons we use, but I don't know. And people will ask me how many shingles that I put out in a day. I really don't know. As many as I can.
Longfellow and other Maine manufacturers say they are constantly searching for new products to maintain a secure foothold in the changing landscape of secondary wood products. Or, as Pride Manufacturing's Randy Dicker is fond of saying,
we're always looking for the next widget.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Let's check in now on the weather. Tonight we'll see heavy rain, wind, and some thunder in the west. In the east, showers with lows in the mid-50s to mid-60s north to south. Tomorrow, windy with rain continuing and showers in the north, highs in the 60s. On Thursday, heavy rain statewide with highs in the high 50s to the low 60s. And on Friday, nicer with mostly sunny skies and highs in the low 50s to mid-60s north to south. And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Ed Morin, Abukara Don, Keith Shortall, Susan Sharon, Mal Leary, and Erwin Gratz. I'm Nora Flaherty. Maine Things Considered is made possible by your support and by Maine Community Foundation. Hosting an early childhood summit in Bangor, November 14th. Registration at mainecf.org. And Mechanical Services, committed to providing Maine healthcare facilities with reliable HVAC systems, building controls, and service. It's 10 minutes before 6 o'clock.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The terrorist attack that killed 358 people in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, this month is being felt deeply in the Minneapolis area. 40,000 people of Somali descent live there, and as Matt Sepik of Minnesota Public Radio reports, most of them have some sort of a connection to a victim.
Amina Debli settled in Minneapolis nearly two decades ago after fleeing Somalia's civil war. Today she owns the East Village Grill, an African and Middle Eastern restaurant a few blocks from the new Viking Stadium. As her husband makes lentil soup and kebabs in the kitchen, Debli says she's been keeping a close eye on her Facebook feed despite its endless stream of tragedy. She desperately wants to know what's going on in Mogadishu, but the stories of all the innocent people killed are often too much to handle.
I have restaurant and I have food everywhere, but I was not eating the whole day. Every time I want to touch food, I just feel sorry. I just feel like part of my body is crying, you know.
Debli says none of her family members died in the attack, but she did lose a good friend who was living here. Ahmed Eo was a 50-year-old father of three who lived in suburban Minneapolis and was killed in his hotel just hours after arriving in Mogadishu for a short trip. Eo's wife, Rune Abdi, says her husband was proud to be an American citizen and dreamed of joining the United Nations mission in Somalia. Abdi says Eo worked as a welder while earning two college degrees.
We miss him so much, and I want to know people know he was a great father. He has two jobs and helping us very much. He worked so hard.
Eo was an active member in his mosque, which has launched a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for his family. In Somalia, despite a quarter century of civil war, the nation of 14 million has never experienced an attack on this scale. Minneapolis City Councilman Abdi Warsami calls it Somalia's 9/11. Seven of his cousins were killed.
It did touch me, and I've been numb for a couple of days, and I call my mom to console her, but she consoles me because she's very strong.
Psychotherapist Ahmed Kari says so many of his fellow Somali Americans are suffering secondary trauma that he's even begun phone consultations.
Mostly they're lost relatives and loved ones, but there are some who are actually very angry, very shocked, and wanted to process that.
As they work through their grief, Somali Americans are trying to help in any way they can. Saeed Sheikh Abdi is with the American Refugee Committee based in Minneapolis. His group is focusing on Mogadishu's Medina Hospital, which has been overwhelmed.
Antibiotics, hospital beds, bandages, insulin for the diabetic patients. These are the kind of the supplies that we're actually sending to the hospital.
People in Somalia also need money, but those here trying to send it directly to relatives still face considerable obstacles. That's because since 2001, the U.S. government has severely restricted wire transfers to Somalia. The goal is to block funding for Al-Shabaab, the Islamist militant group suspected in the bombing. So leaders in the Somali community here say donating to aid groups that have workers on the ground in Mogadishu is the best way to help those suffering from this terrorist attack. For NPR News, I'm Matt Sepik in Minneapolis.
The actress and comedian Amy Sedaris has become famous for her roles in shows like Strangers with Candy.
I was a builder, a user, and a loser.
And Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Call Make a Wish, I wanna meet Shaq! Jacqueline, 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 Jacqueline!
At the same time, Amy Sedaris has always harbored a not-so-secret love of home crafting projects. She has written books about it. There is Simple Times, Crafts for Poor People, and I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence. And now she has a new program on True TV called At Home with Amy Sedaris.
My businessmen will be here soon, and we didn't even address the most important part of a fish dinner, making lamb chops. As it turns out, a lot of people don't like fish, so it's very important to always...
Amy Sedaris, welcome to All Things Considered.
Thank you for having me.
What were your inspirations for this show?
Well, I grew up with these two local hospitality shows, At Home with Peggy Mann and The Betty Elliott Show, and that's what triggered the whole thing. I remember pointing to the TV when I was 10, saying, I'm going to do that show when I grow up. And then I was inspired by Lawrence Welk and Galloping Gourmet and Frugal Gourmet and Julia Childs and Two Fat Ladies. I mean, all those shows.
You mentioned the show Two Fat Ladies, which was also a favorite of mine. And one thing that I loved about that show, which your show also shares, is that the things that they made so enthusiastically so often looked totally inedible. It would be like a breakfast dish made of anchovies.
Yes, and butter and everything. But that's the thing, like Martha Stewart, who's really talented, and she had that great PBS show, how she would like teach you how to roast a chicken. But my stuff never looked like her stuff. Or like I'd look at her magazine where she'd make a pipe cleaner mouse, and then I would make a pipe cleaner mouse. I'm like, this looks nothing like a mouse. So I'm like, how do they do this? So I just like things to look as, you know, real. And I think a lot of people are like that.
Was there a moment that you realized your weakness was actually your strength in home crafting?
That's funny. Yeah, you're right. I mean, if I do the best I can do, then it's just funny without trying to be funny, which I like. That's how I like to do everything. It's like, if you're just true and you're in the moment, then it's just going to be more unique and more you.
You make these adorable baked potato boats in the episode on a fish dinner.
Okay, for this craft, you will need baked potato, skewer, cheese singles, mushroom button caps, construction paper, and a little bit of glue.
Yes, you are making boats out of baked potatoes. And yet, it's hard for me to describe this like a project you could see on any other TV home crafts program.
But it's a real craft. I've seen it in a cookbook before.
I think we need you to describe this activity now.
You take a baked potato and you put butter and sour cream on it, and then you top it with mushroom caps. And I just added a flag. And what's funny about that craft is, you know, I wanted to make the flag look like it was blowing in the wind. So you take the construction paper and make a flag, and you have to apply some glue. But I added too much glue by accident.
Okay, squeeze a little dab, we'll do it.
This show has a roster of all-star visiting celebrities, Stephen Colbert, Jane Krakowski. How did you describe to them what they were signing up for?
I think they did it for the money, which was $600. Well, Colbert, I was like, come on, I can't do this show without you. It was really good to have him on set.
I'm in the craft room! Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Amy.
Stephen Colbert, my turtle sitter.
How are the turtles doing?
Everyone was good. So enthusiastic, and they said yes right away. And I didn't think we'd get half the people we got. I mean, Michael Shannon, are you kidding me? Or Paul Giamatti or Chris Elliott? I was shocked when they said yes.
Okay, so Amy Sedaris, if you're invited to a party for the holiday season, can you suggest a host or hostess gift that somebody could bring that's different from the typical bottle of wine or bouquet of flowers?
Well, I always appreciate someone bringing me a pound of butter because butter is really expensive and it's a nice thing you can throw in your freezer.
If someone is going to show up at your house with a pound of butter, would they put a ribbon on it or shape it into, is there something more you can do than just arrive with a pound of butter?
Well, if you gift wrap it, I mean, I love having art in my refrigerator, and if you gift wrapped, it'll look beautiful in your freezer, all, you know, with a little bow on it.
Amy Sedaris, congratulations on your new show.
Thank you so much.
The new program on True TV is called At Home with Amy Sedaris, and it starts tonight.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Visit St. Petersburg Clearwater, home of 35 miles of white sand beaches along Florida's Gulf Coast, and a daily sunset celebration on Clearwater Beach, 90 minutes west of Orlando, at visitstpeteclearwater.com. From the Brown University School of Professional Studies, offering executive master's degrees to mid-career professionals, programs in business administration, healthcare leadership, science and tech leadership, and cybersecurity. brown.edu/executive. And from Zoom. Zoom offers cloud video conferencing, online meetings, and a video conference room solution in one platform featuring digital video and audio with screen sharing, account registration, and more at zoom.us.
And you're listening to All Things Considered on Maine Public Radio. The show continues into the next hour, and at 6:30, it's today's business news on Marketplace.
On the next Maine Calling, answers to your questions about getting health care under the Affordable Care Act. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've no doubt heard a lot about changes and proposed changes to the ACA. The sign-up period for getting ACA health care is shorter than usual this year. So join me and a panel of experts to get answers to your ACA questions. Maine Calling, Wednesday at 1 and again at 8 on Maine Public Radio.
This is Maine Public Radio. We are WMEW Waterville 91.3, WMED Calais 89.7, WMEF Fort Kent 106.5, WMEH Bangor 90.9, WMEP in Camden 90.5, WMEM Presque Isle 106.1, and WMEA Portland 90.1.